Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We talked Spotsylvania this morning. A couple of members of the Board of Supervisors in. Chris Yakubowski from the Battlefield District is here, and Greg Cibula from the Berkeley District here. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for getting up and coming in.
Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. We got a lot of different things. This gets to be a busy time. We'll talk about the budget later in the program, but that soon starts happening Monday when the school board starts their work with the budget. But wanted to start off a couple of different things. There's a story in today's paper, Chris, about the GM plant on Tidewater Trail. I know there's not a lot you can say yet because the official announcement hasn't come and things are still developing. But it looks like someone's going to be moving in there.
Right. It's good news for the county. We have over the past several years been trying to move that location, and it's a prime location. It used to be the GM plant, had about 300 to 400 people that used to work there, and then when GM went belly up several years back, it was bought or put into a thing called the Racer Trust, R-A-C-E-R, and what they were responsible for then unloading all the properties, so not just here but all over the Northeast. And this was one of the larger ones, and the problem that you always had with this building is that it's so large, and the roof was in such disrepair that just to repair the roof was $1 million to $2 million. So it scared off a lot of buyers just because of that, because that's a lot of money to dump in, and then you have to bring the building up to the specs that you're looking for. And so it had sat there for a long time, but I give credit to economic development team that we have, to Tom Romora, to Curry Roberts over at the Regional Alliance, to the state partners that we have down at VDEP and our county administrator. You know, they stayed on it. The will of the board was to make sure that we got a good business that moved in. And, we'll have an announcement coming up here soon about the details. But it's just more good news for Sponsey.
Well, that is, and it hopefully it brings some jobs. I don't think either of you were on the board. I can remember because it was Emmett Marshall, who was on the board in your seat, Greg. Because at one time, I remember there was talk about giving some of that land to the Civil War Trust because there's some history there. And I remember Emmett Marshall in a meeting he fought against that and said it's too valuable a property. And so to get that to get a business in there will be good just for taxpayers in Spotsylvania.
Yeah, the loss of those 300 GM employees was it certainly hurt the county. And I know when I was elected, and one of the first things that came up was my meeting down at Racer with a business coming in, and it was really a shock, the disrepair that the building was in. But it's going to be a good thing. We'll have new jobs coming in. We'll have a building that's now back in the tax rolls.
Yeah,
that's a good part of it. And I think there'll be some really, really good fallout from it. And it'll be a relief to the Board of Supervisors to finally have that off our back.
Yeah. Well, I've never been in there, but I know people. I knew a lot of people that worked there, and people that did take tours just would say it's just just a massive building, just huge.
Yeah, it really is. And that was part of the problem of it, is to find somebody that then could use such a huge building.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't really want to split it up and turn it into, you know, some type of flea market or something where you have little bits of this and that in it. And then who would be responsible for repairing the roof anyway? So
yeah,
it was a big burden that the county did have. But I think that our residents will be very pleased to see that there'll be some good news coming up here shortly.
Looking forward to that. You did make an announcement this week after your meeting, I think, in an executive session, and then talked about there's a high tech company that's going to expand what they're doing right now.
Right. It's HDT is locating into the county, and this is a unique opportunity because of what they do. They're a defense contractor, and they do all different sorts of contracts for the government. They have other locations. I think one is Ohio, and they're down in Southwest Virginia also, where they have a manufacturing plant. And what they're going to be doing in the county, one of the parts of the incentive package that we put together was an internship for STEM students. So those who are in the STEM program, they'll have internships, and the county is subsidizing those for 5 years, $50,000 a year. There'll be 8 students per year, 2 in the fall, 2 in the spring, and 4 in the summer. And what that will do is get kids and young adults who are interested in that field of work, get them an internship, a paid internship,
okay,
to then get into that field, get experience. And the nice thing, too, is that these are well-paying jobs, $70,000-plus, that will be located in the county. And the incentive package is $1.5 million. Most of that is tax rebates of BPOL and other things. And one of the nice things is this is a 10-year period that we've spread it out over. So by the end of that 10-year period, there will be about 80 high-paying jobs that will be in the county. So no commute time, well-paid, a good career field. And we have the STEM program that we've never done that before of subsidizing interns. So it's sort of a pilot program to see how it turns out. And if it works, this might be another way to continue on because, these are the jobs of the future. And to get kids involved and staying around home is, a positive, I think, for our residents.
And that's what you all talk about all the time, wanting to get jobs close to home.
And when we say high-paying jobs, but at the end of 10 years, we're looking up in the low 90s. So that's a these are decent employment, and with the STEM program, and hopefully it'll be our local kids or youth that are be participating in that. They won't be importing people from here and there. We're looking for local participation, which all benefits the county.
But Chris, for somebody like you over the years. And especially the last few, I know some members that I've known over the years that have been on the EDA have always commented to me that you were the first board member ever to come to meetings and show an interest in what they do. This component of what you – one of the many things that a board member does, this is – economic development's been one of your key things since you got back on the board.
Well, it was and my previous term too. And, government doesn't create jobs. And it does create jobs, but it creates government jobs, which is not – that's not what we're looking to do. What we want to do is create an atmosphere where business can come here and expand, but more importantly, that they stay. It's one thing that you open a small business in Spotsy, but we want to make sure that when you get to that point where you're looking to expand and to grow, that your experience here has been such that you want to stay here and you want to continue to grow. And so – one of my main focuses has been on making sure that any of those barriers that are up and the difficulty that might be there or just simply the unknown of how to navigate the business structure in the county and who do you talk to, where do you go, what forms do you fill out, what is it all about, that we make sure that that's taken care of. And then, it's nice to say that we are getting these jobs and these businesses to move into the county. And it's very positive, and we actually have many more that are actually in the pipeline that we can't say anything about. But 2017 is looking to shape up like a really good year at the federal level and at the state level and especially at the local level. And when all these things fall into place, I think our residents will be very happy. But it's also keeping those small businesses that are here, and making sure that they thrive. So, you catch the 50, 100, or the 200 – person business every once in a while, but the small, under 10, under 50 businesses, those are key to not only have them here, but to also keep them here and to let them know too, just because we highlight, an HDT that's moving in or the sale of the GM plant, it doesn't mean that they get put on the back burner whatsoever. They're just as important to us and just as much of our focus as the large businesses, because they surely outnumber the big ones, and they are key, and they're the backbone of our business climate here in the county.
Yeah. One of the things that I kind of ran on was bringing business to the county and making things easy for them, and it's really nice to know in the development and business community now, we've got a reputation of having very friendly processing of all of the forms and the multitude of things that have to happen, that Spotsylvania County is really helps you out. If you want to come here, they're going to help you do it, and that's one of the good things. And back in the beginning, when I first got started, Chris's second term, but this was our first term together. Chris started the Economic Development and Tourism Committee, and we both served on that. He was chair, and I was a vice chair. And I found that through this committee, we certainly learned a whole lot about the potential of new businesses coming, and they would come before our committee first before they went anywhere else, and say, "Hey, here's what we want to do, and what do you think about this? And how are we going to go? Where are we going to go forward from here?" I thought the viability of that committee was really great, and for some unknown reason, the board voted to disband the committee. So here we sit with not an economic development and tourism, and I think that's a big mistake in this county.
We did a show on that earlier.
Right, and just to remind people, I voted against dismantling it, and so did Greg, and then Mr. Skinner also voted against it. So you win some, and unfortunately
and lose
the county
some.
Lost one on that one.
Yeah. You learn how to count to four very quickly.
Right.
Spotsylvania Supervisors Chris Jakubowski here and Greg Cibula. More on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisors Greg Cibula from Berkeley and Chris Jakubowski here from the Battlefield District. We are getting into budget time, and I guess with the county administrator, what, Chris, will give you your budget, what, later in February?
On Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, what a nice Valentine that'll be.
Yeah, I'd prefer chocolate, but yeah, get the budget.
School board gets it kicked off on Monday night. Dr. Baker gives his budget to the board. They'll work on it. And I don't know that there's ever – even in the good years when it was the economy and the state was doing well, there always is tough situations with the budget. But again this year with what you see – seeing with some of the shortfalls in Richmond and just not knowing what's going to happen with the federal government.
Right. Well, you know, the state, it seems over the past few years, and it comes from leadership, is that their budgets have missed the mark. And so the people that really pay for it are the localities, because we bank on what they tell us. Last year they did this with the teacher increase in salary. And our school board went ahead and gave the pay raises, went out with the contracts, and then the state came back and said, oh, by the way, we don't have the money, so we're not giving you their part of the pay increase. So our schools, to their credit, I think they did a great job of going out to each of the individual schools, finding ways to cut back, cutting administration, cutting every single department back to the point where they can come up with, I think it was a little over $1 million that they had to come up with to match for teacher pay. Well, it wasn't just teacher. It was entire school system pay increases. And everybody chipped in. They cut. They found places to cut back or hold off on spending. And they were able to make that up and get the pay increases that, you know, our school system deserved and were told that they were going to get. So, you know, the state, I never rely upon the state, because one of the things that they like to do, too, is pass unfunded mandates down to us. Pat themselves on the back and tell each other how conservative they are, while all that they do is they make it more difficult for conservatives like us at the local level to actually do our job. And so then we're tagged with, you know, you're a tax increaser, you're this or you're that, because you didn't cut, which is, you know, some people think that's what being a conservative is. But what it truly is especially at the local level, we can't pass any of these mandates on to anybody else, can't tell anybody else what to do. So we have the state on us, we have the feds on us, And then we have a very small portion of our budget that we can actually play with. Yeah. And that portion is in my opinion, number one is public safety, and number two, and actually you could probably put them both at number one, is public education, to make sure that we have the strongest in both areas. And when you're being told that you have to do so many other things and that takes up so much of your money, there's not that much left. So I'm not that hopeful for this upcoming budget that we're going to have extra money that we just don't know what to do with. Our county administrator, Mr. Taylor, has done an outstanding job over the past 2 years he's been here.
Yes, he has.
And he's going to craft a budget that he believes is what he needs to do to run the county as efficiently and effectively as possible. And so I look forward to that on Valentine's Day. Now I have an excuse why we don't have to go out to dinner. Sorry,
right.
I got to work.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering who's going to give us the box of chocolates.
Well, Greg, Sheriff Decatur from Stafford was in the other day, and when we were talking about staffing, and he was saying in Stafford, and I'm sure it's the same in Spotsylvania, he said if the comp board gave Stafford what they were supposed to have, he'd have 13 more deputies. And it'd be the same thing in Spotsylvania. You just think, what could the county, what could Sheriff Harris do with 13 more deputies, and how much easier it would be for you all at the local level?
Well, we have, certainly in the Sheriff's Department, you always need more deputies. It just goes without saying, and that will never change. I believe the Sheriff's looking for 6 new patrol deputies, and he's got the responsibility for the court protection. That's an ever-expanding thing, one of those unfunded mandates that that we get stuck with. And there's give and take in the budget with Mr. Taylor and working through things. You say, well, if we do this, will you do that? And you come to these agreements, and then because of the way the rest of the budget, then you need to modify and change that. It calls for a lot of cooperation and understanding within the different directors and departments that were responsible for budgeting. But back to the schools, I read recently where the state is looking at taking some more money from the lottery to give to the schools. Well, that would be great if it flows down to us.
Yeah.
At our level, but I just don't see it happening. You know, local government is not federal government. It's not state government. It's running the house. It's taking care of business for your family, because that's what our constituents are, our family. And people need to recognize if you only have so much income, you can only do so many things. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you need a new house because your house burned down, you're not going to pay cash for it. You're going to mortgage it. And that's where the bonding and the borrowing comes in, that people say, oh, why did you do this and why did you do that? Well, we did it so that you can have food on a table and a car and a garage and money to pay for gas. This is why we're running a household. And that's the way local government needs to be run. And if people want to put in the federal end of it and push it down and say, oh, well, you got to get rid of this department and get rid of that. That's not how we operate. The buck stops with us, and hopefully starts with us, but mostly it stops with us.
Well, and Greg, you have a unique perspective, and a lot of times people don't come into the board. You've spent a lot of years as a volunteer doing a lot of different things. And I notice a lot of people a lot of times will move to the county and run and don't have that experience and may talk in theories of things. You've actually been a part of – you and I years ago were part of – I don't know if we were in the same class, but I know we took the – Sheriff Smith had a class where you could
Citizens Budget Patrol. Yes.
Yeah, that kind of thing, and those kind of things you see firsthand. Yeah. What's going on in the county?
Right. That was 8 years driving a patrol car and manning a substation, and the wife and I both were involved with that, and that's just experience that you can't gain otherwise. It gives you insight. And before we moved down here, I had no idea of ever running for office again. I did run previously in Northern Virginia. But while I was up there, I was involved with the Lake Ridge Parks and Recreation Association, which at that time was the third largest association in the United States. We had 7,200 households that were made, and I filled every role within that organization, and as president was like being mayor of a small city. And that's all volunteer experience. There's no paid stuff that goes with that. And
but you learn about the community.
But you learn about the community. You learn about the issues. At one time, I wrote all of the architectural rules for that committee. And you talk about eggs and toilet paper. Yeah, I received.
Yeah.
But these are the things you learn when you're serving a community. And came down here, retired, and all of a sudden I saw a need to run again. And so here I am, and hopefully the people will vote me in again next time.
Well, I was going to ask you that. This is an election year for
yes.
both your seats. I guess that's your announcement that you're running for re-election.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you running, Chris? You running again?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am. This is looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun year. There's only three of us that are up. It's actually the eastern part of the county, myself and Greg and Gary Skinner. And so not only the board but also the school board's up at the same time in those districts. So it'll be a fun year, and I look forward to taking the message that I've had over the past 4 years and the promises that I've made that I've kept and taking it to our neighbors and saying this is what I've done and this is what I'd like to continue to do. And, you know, would you reelect me?
Yep. I want to do the same thing. There's unfinished business that we both have that we started, and I feel with another term I can at least get those objectives done and leave a lot of things for perhaps somebody new to come on.
Chris Jakubowski here, Greg Sabula here from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We talked Spotsylvania this morning. Supervisor Greg Sabula here, along with Chris Jakubowski. Before I forget it, since you're getting the budget on Valentine's Day, Chris, maybe you should you can set something up this morning of maybe on the 15th or the 13th taking your wife out to dinner. You talked about you couldn't take your wife out to dinner that day.
No, we absolutely will. And the nice thing about not having it on Valentine's is the restaurants won't be as crowded.
That's right. So yeah. Still always
That's
thinking.
That's always my excuse.
Always thinking.
But he will have to stop by Walmart and pick up a rose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. To circle back around before we move on to other things, we were talking about we're talking about the GM plant and how big it is. With the leaves off the trees, that Lytle facility over by the Y, that is just huge.
It is huge. I drove down in there the other day. Just to check out the entrance and everything. And the road in is a quarter mile long.
Oh, wow. And so you're looking at it from a distance and as
right.
big as it is up close.
And, yeah, that building is just tremendous. I just can't imagine the activity that's going to take place there. And we did have concerned residents worried about the noise and worried about the transportation and worried about the visual. And I believe the resident, that's the funny part of this, the residents are in Chris's district. Lytle is in my district. So we're across the road from one another, but because we work together, we'll work together on any issues that arise out of that.
Well, it's sitting right next to the quarry, too. So
yes.
If anybody's complaining about noise, you've got the quarry there. So if you buy in that area, you know what you're up against.
Yeah, I brought that up at the community meeting that the road damage is not from Lytle. It's from the quarry and the noise. And that was all there before the people moved in. Lytle came afterwards, but that was there beforehand. So there'll be some cooperation, I think, mm-hmm. needed.
Well, I know that it is an enormous building. And again, there's more jobs that are coming there, about 200. And the residents that live right there on Smith Station in Lee's Park, they do have concerns about especially light with vehicles coming out and the time of day and everything. So myself and Mr. Cibula were at the community meeting, and we had county staff there to listen. And we're in the process of coming up with some recommendations of what we can do, and having another meeting with the folks over there to discuss these. And the county, I do believe, will do something to alleviate some of the issues that are there, especially since we had a hand in bringing Lidl to that location with incentives and everything else. We have a responsibility to, you know, make sure that the impact on our residents that are there is mitigated as much as possible.
I saw that they're going to open up some kind of a facility again in another one in the Richmond area for Spotsylvania, because you were one of the first when they were looking to get one. Boy, that was really a catch by the county.
Well, and what we had to do too was we had the Governor's Opportunity Fund, which is $1 million grant to a business, and a locality has to be able and willing to put up $1 million grant in cash to match that. And we were able to do that. And that was one of the things I had neglected to say before, is not only do we keep the businesses that are here and bring the other ones in, but by doing what we did with Lidl and the entire package with utilities that we put in and other infrastructure and cash and everything else was, you know, over $2 million. But what it did was it also raised our stature in the state and with the state economic development team. So that when these things come along, they know that we are not only willing to do it, but we have done it. And so we're no longer looked at as second tier. We have moved up to the upper tier, which is going to pay off in the long run. You know, these things, Lidl, I think, was one of the fastest ones that we saw from first time behind closed doors to actually closing on the deal, which was probably about a year. But we've seen stuff that, you know, the GM plant, like I said, been working on for even before we were on the board.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see these things, they eventually come to fruition, but it takes time.
We're talking with Spotsylvania Supervisors Chris Jakubowski and Greg Cibula. The board, a couple of meetings ago, they passed a school choice resolution. You two both voted against it. And I'll just talk about why you voted against it.
Well, we put it on our legislative agenda for school choice. And my background, having been in politics and worked campaigns and worked with different groups and for different issues, I personally am an advocate for school choice of some sort. What, you know, it's got muddied up over the years because there's so many different things that come up. And, you know, we take money from here and we you know, harm our public school system. And that's not the point. In my opinion, of doing it, what it really is to give parents choice to get out of those systems that don't work for them. Now, around here, we have a good school system. I don't really see that any bad schools whatsoever. Our employees and school officials are very dedicated and really do a good job, even though they have, you know, all the mandates that come down on them. But you know, it's not really to dismantle the school system in areas like this. It's really to give those other areas that don't have, you know, working schools and quality schools, giving the parents a choice to get out and get out from under that that monopoly that they have. And so I'm for that. But when it came before the board for us to celebrate School Choice Week, and I've never been an advocate of celebrating issues.
Yeah.
You know, we do celebrate stuff like Black History Month. We celebrate Constitution Week. You know, we do things like that, which is pretty standard. But when it comes to issues, especially issues that are controversial, taking a position like that right before the budget comes in, right before we're going to meet with the school board, when there's no pending piece of legislation that is out there, I thought was unnecessary. And there was really no point to doing it. You know, I remember back during the Iraq War when you had Albemarle, I think it was, and Alexandria, Arlington, one of them, and they were passing resolutions against the Iraq War. I mean, yeah. It's just ridiculous. You have nothing to do with it. Why don't you stick with what you do and focus on your job? So if it was a piece of legislation that we could back or something like that, fine. But resolutions for resolution's sake is not – it's not necessary. Yeah. And all it does is it just divides and it leaves a bitter taste in people's mouth because for 5 or 6 years, there have never been a school choice resolution put up. Then all of a sudden 1 year – you know, for 1 week in January, we're going to celebrate School Choice Week. You know, what is the purpose behind it?
And it's an election year.
In my opinion, it was just total redundancy. We had already passed putting school choice on our legislative list of things that we were requesting. And then we're going to turn around and pass a resolution. And that just struck me as redundant. What was the purpose of doing this other than maybe self-gratification? It was just – and that's why I voted against it. I certainly am for school choice. And another related issue is homeschooling. People don't realize that those who homeschool their children save an awful lot of money in the school, in the public school system, because their students are not taking up those reserves.
It's like if I remember a few years ago, more than it was when the board passed a pro-life resolution, and it got a lot of attention. But really, at the local level,
it's meaningless. No. Totally meaningless.
Right.
Yes.
And you know, I'm pro-life. I'm conservative. Pro-gun. But all of that. It doesn't play into what we're supposed to be doing as local elected officials.
Running the household.
Right. We're there to do the job that we're there to do. And, you know, we can pass resolutions against the UN and against, you know, our actions in Libya, but it doesn't make any sense. And that's why I put on a resolution this past week. And thankfully, the piece of legislation got shot down in committee. But, you know, the state was trying to from one senator, and actually it was sponsored by one other, to actually require localities, when we have the B-poll tax, which is a business tax, to actually only put that and implement that on net income. Right now it's on gross income, and I personally would like to see it on net income, and we have the tools to do it. And in fact, I voted and pushed to reduce a couple portions of the B-poll tax a few years ago. Mr. Cibula voted with me to do it. So if we want to reduce the B-poll tax, we should do it at the local level. But what this piece of legislation said was localities, tough.
You will.
You will do it. The state mandates that you will do it. And if it went through, we would be looking at about $4.2 million in reduced revenue this year.
4 cents on the tax rate.
As soon as it was passed, you lose that money. And so, you know, you would then have, as I said before, people running around saying, look what a conservative I am. Look what I did for businesses. But you didn't do anything for businesses. All you did was now
hurt the county.
You hurt the county and put the burden on us conservatives to now have to figure out how do you make up that revenue. And again, the more power that you put down at the local level and the closer to the people you have it, the better. So if we have the opportunity to reduce B-poll according to what our budget says and dictates, then we can do that. But it should be left up to us and not from the state. But thankfully, it was killed in committee. I think it was 17-1.
Okay.
So at least
we could phase
senators.
Something in like that, but you don't drop that burden all of a sudden, because then you have the choice. How do you make up that income, because you've got ongoing obligations, and there's, you know, again, you either borrow the money or, heaven forbid, you've got to raise taxes to make up the difference. And I'm as conservative as anyone. I'm not for raising taxes, but I'm also for a balanced budget. And if that's what's needed, then that's what we need to do. And if people have wants and desires and say that this is what we've got to have, well, then we've got to look at doing that and take whatever actions necessary to do that.
No, I've always used in a personal sense when school budgets haven't been funded, have been funded way below what was needed, and the sports fee went into effect.
Yes,
I was paying $500-$700 for my kids to play sports.
Yeah.
And I did at times look to you guys and then say that's a tax.
No activity buses to go along with it. Right.
Well, because it's at the local level and this is where it actually happens.
Yeah.
And so, you know, talking about resolutions passed, we're not congressmen. We don't have anything to do with the federal deficit or debt. You know, any of those type of views that you might hold, that's fine. And if you see my Facebook page, you'll see exactly where I come from. But when it comes to the local level, we have responsibilities, we have mandates, and we have to make it work. I mean, public safety, having firefighters at your house when it's burning down is our responsibility and making sure that they're funded. So, you know, that part of the budget, for instance, has gone up like 40 or 50% over the past 5 years. We have put a lot into public safety because it is an essential role of government. And so we also have a budget review committee that's going to come to us at the end of February with their recommendations on how we can save money. And I'm all for saving money. You show me where it is. But I'll tell you, the past two chairmen of the budget review committee have both said that they've looked at the budget, and my representative on there also has said they've looked at it. They've torn through it. And there's just no waste that is in our budget.
Right.
You know, we're not like the feds where we send our people out to Vegas to scout out where they're going to have a meeting and they waste all this money. We don't do that. Yeah. We run a very efficient and effective organization, and the extra money that we do have goes directly into the services that are needed.
Right.
And that's exactly how you're supposed to run a budget at the local level.
Yeah, as past chairman of that budget review committee,
you did that.
I certainly concur with everything that Chris has said. I don't see any fluff or waste in our budget. There may be some little things that on an individual level, but I think that's taken care of by the managers and the directors in the various departments. Everybody, as far as I'm concerned, is doing a fantastic job on running their budgets. We need new things, like, for example, the sheriff's department would like to have the body cameras. I personally feel that that's something that's definitely needed. This is a big expense.
Yeah.
And it's not just paying for cameras. It's paying for the infrastructure, paying for a new or an additional in the Commonwealth Attorney's Office to review these things and to prepare for the caseloads and so forth. And the general public tends not to understand. They see body cameras, yes or no. New vehicles, yes or no. Seat belts in school buses. But there's a cost involved to each and every activity that you're considering for the budget. And it just it goes on and on that way. Fortunately, we recently had our radio system upgraded, and that's been a tremendous asset and will continue to be an asset to the emergency communications within the county. It all goes back to looking at the whole thing and running it like your household.
And the one thing I'll say, too, is that we know that we're doing a good job because we were rated AAA by one of our bonding agencies. And another one upgraded us, and the other one kept it at a AA+. So that is verification that what we're doing is the right thing.
Chris Jakubowski, Greg Cibula from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Supervisors Chris Jakubowski and Greg Cibula from Spotsylvania here this morning. Well, just a few minutes left. Chris, the whole proffer bill that we've talked about before and how difficult it's made life for fast-growing localities like Spotsylvania, Stafford, and others. Apparently not a lot going to be changed this year in the General Assembly. Before the session, Mark Dudenheffer said he thought that some minor things would come of it. But that's created, I know, a big problem as you look at projects.
Well, you know, unfortunately, in government, the only time that you really get solutions to a problem is when it comes to critical mass. And I don't think that there'll be any changes with the proffer system until you have the localities, especially the big ones, crying out that they need changes. Because, you know, it's in the future, and it's out there somewhere. You know, we had all these projects that were proposed to us, and so many of them passed. And you kept hearing, well, these are 20-year projects. Well, I'll put it to you that in the next couple of years, you're going to see these things moving fast, because with a new president and the Congress moving as they are to jumpstart the economy and really get it moving, they're not going to wait 20 years, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't blame them. You know, if you're a developer and you're a builder, you obviously want to make money. And so you have these things in the pipeline, you have them sitting there, and you're going to see them sprouting up. And then you'll have other things come along with no proffers whatsoever. And I think when it comes to that point, when you have such gridlock and such a problem and tax rates that will be going sky high because you have to build new schools, fire stations, and you have to pay for the capital expenses, you will see a change. But unfortunately, the people that wrecked the system that we had will be gone. And, you know, there's no right. real responsibility that is there. And so that's unfortunately what's going to happen. But, you know, we can only deal with what we have now and use the proffer dollars that we do have in the system to come in and try to fix what we got on the books.
One of the things that stuck in my mind when this whole legislation came about, when I first came to office, I was so looking forward to being in on the ground floor of any new projects or development that was going to happen, not in only in my district, but in the county. I could sit down with a development community, project leaders, and look at what they were going to do, and I could say to them, well, this is probably not good, but if you do this, what are you going to what kind of balance, what kind of mm-hmm. give and take are we going to have on this?
And
we
can't do that now.
And we would. I can't even sit. Basically, almost can't even sit down with them. I can sit in the meeting. And I could say, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And that's all I can say by law. And I'm certainly not going to get impeached for doing something stupid. And this whole thing ruined a good system that we had in this county. Not all counties. Some of them, they didn't care. But in this county, we had a good relationship and a good way of moving forward. And that all went down the tubes. And very disturbing. Very, very disturbing.
Well, and that just shows you that legislation is not a one-size-fits-all. So if you have an issue, you have a problem, you fix what the problem is. You don't scrap the entire system. And then the biggest thing is they didn't replace it with anything. So you had a system that wasn't working in different places, and so you throw it out everywhere, and then you leave us holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult.
Supervisor Chris Jakubowski from the Battlefield District, Supervisor Greg Sabula from Berkeley in Spotsylvania. We're out of time. It went fast. We'll get together and do this again.
God bless.
Thank you so much. That's it for Town Talk.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.